Go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And as you make your way there, I want to talk about a specific recurring experience last weekend from our time over at the Crestwood Recreation Center for their Trunk or Treat event. Now, I don't know the exact count on how many kids came by our Jesus is Sweet section of the parking lot, but there were hundreds of them from all ages, from little babies and strollers to high schoolers. Now, like I said, I don't know the exact count, but there were hundreds of them. And because there were hundreds of kids along with hundreds of parents, there was a specific interaction that happened hundreds of times along the way. And it involved the thank yous. Over the course of that, what was supposed to be a two-hour event, but because of early arrivals and late arrivals, it was really closer to 3 hours, we heard a variety of thank yous each and every time we interacted with those stopping by our table on their way by. Now, some of those thank yous were very quick thank yous from older kids in a hurry to get from one place to the next as quickly as possible to get more candy. Some of the thank yous came from younger kids forced to take their time because the line for the next station backed up a little bit, and so they had to stand in front of us, which gave us actually opportunity to talk with them a little bit more and interact with them. The accompanying parents for those kids also gave their own thank yous for us being there and giving candy to their kids. Although when they get their sugar rush later, I don't know how much they're being thankful to us for that, but they were thankful in the moment. As people came and went during that time, there were many thank you reminders that we heard from parents to their little kids who came up and started digging to get some candy, and in the process, they needed that reminder from their parents like, hey, you need to say thank you for that. I'm sure that an event like this is an event where there's dozens of stations like that giving out candy. I'm sure it was a great place for kids to have that routine and that reminder of being told time and time again, hey, you need to say thank you from their parents. And so they got to work on that routine of receiving something and saying thank you for it. While it would be great for children to learn to say thank you and become lifelong givers of thanks at each and every opportunity, the reality is that some of those childhood lessons we get can and do wear off over time. A default setting of giving thanks isn't how everyone operates. Some adults could really use some help in being grateful instead of always being a grumbler. And even for those who do say thank you regularly, there may still be room for improvement. Instead of a quick thank you where you don't really even make eye contact with the person you are thanking or where you don't even know their name, perhaps a thank you by name or a thank you where you actually look at the person and say thank you would be more meaningful. Last week, we started a series that I hope will help us slow down and think about giving thanks and talk about giving thanks and pray about giving thanks in ways that shape us into being the best givers of thanks we can be. Thanksgiving is literally a month away, and I want us to be the kind of people who can give God the thanks that he deserves to the best of our ability, because God has blessed us so much. And God deserves the greatest of praise and the greatest of thanks for all that he's done. Now, when you sit down and you think about the things that we can thank God for, things come to mind quickly and easily, or at least that's what happened for me. It was one of the easier messages I ever had to write because, oh, we're going to talk about the things to thank God for. Well, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I hope that at some point during this past week, you actively took the time to think about other things that you could specifically give God thanks for. As we get closer to Thanksgiving, I'm sure we'll take time on a particular Sunday morning for you to maybe be able to share some of those things you want to thank God for, because God is such a giving God, and we want to give God praise for those things he's blessed us with. Now, while verbal praise from our lips is good and great, at the very same time, verbal praise isn't the only thing we should be giving God in response to the many things we've been given. And with that, let's go ahead and read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go ahead and stand with me as I read 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The word of God for the people of God. Oh, one more. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, before we go further, I just want to quickly recap the list of things I talked about last week regarding all of the things, or at least a starting point of the things that God has given all of us. God has given all of us life itself, and like David, knit us together in our mother's womb. God has given us a beautiful world to live in and given us a vocation in this world as stewards. God has given us freedom of will, and God has also given us guidance as to the best ways for us to use that freedom in choosing God's desires for our lives. When we use our God-given freedom to reject God-given guidance, what we discover then is a God who continues to give as God gives us a second chance and gives us the gift of his very own Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us back into a relationship with him. And as if all of those things isn't enough, God also wants to give us an abundant life now and an abundant life for eternity when all has been made new. Now, if any of you took time later on in the week to think about what God has given you, that list is even longer. God has given all of us so much. And when you think about the quantity and the quality of the things that have been given to us by our Heavenly Father, there is simply no comparison with what people in this world may have given us. And because the quality and the quantity of the things God has given us far exceeds what people in this world give us, the thank you response that we have toward God, toward that generous God, that giving God, should far exceed the kind of basic, generic thank you responses we often give others in this world. I'm fairly certain that some of you, maybe even most of you, are really good about saying thank you to people for a variety of things each and every day. Thank you to the person holding a door for you. Thank you to the person who is bringing food to your table as a waiter, as a server. A thank you or a wave to the person who is courteous in some way while you are driving. A thank you to an amazing husband for doing an extra errand after a long day at work by picking up some fried chicken and potato salad from Jewel before coming home. If that sounds specific, there's a reason. I went above and beyond one of those days. Some of you, most of you, probably say thank you on a regular basis for a variety of reasons to all kinds of people. We say little thank yous for little things all the time. And while those little thank yous are polite and they do express appreciation in the moment, most of them, if we're honest, aren't really necessarily profound or transformational. A level above those basic daily situations are far more significant moments where someone has given you something or done something for you that has been quite a bit more impactful on your life. Situations that are more firmly established in your memory. 5 years ago, when Lori had a flat tire on the interstate and a truck driver stopped to put on a new spare tire, she was extremely grateful for that moment. I know because she shared that moment different times about when she was stranded on the road and somebody stopped and helped change that tire for her, and she was extremely stressed about that. You know, it's a little dangerous on the interstate sometimes. She was very, very thankful for that help. There was also another time about 8 years ago where Lori and I needed help getting all of the rooms over in the parsonage painted and needed help getting a large moving truck emptied as we moved in. That help from many of you here was help that was very much needed and greatly appreciated and not forgotten 8 years later. And there are times where you or I may want to do, there are plenty of times in all of our lives when a simple thank you just isn't quite sufficient for what we've been given. And there are times where you or I may want to do more than just say thank you, because what was given or what was done was very special. When it comes to the quantity and the quality of the things that God has given us and the quantity and quality of things that God wants to give us and wants to do for us, I think it's natural and appropriate for people to want to do far more than just give God a verbal expression of gratitude and thanks. It seems to me that the degree to which God has blessed us deserves more than that. God has blessed us tremendously. God doesn't give us candy. God gave us the breath of life. God didn't just help fixing a flat tire. God gave us help by redeeming us from sin. Because of the elevated quality and quantity of what God has given us, there are a couple of different additional responses, I think, beyond verbal praise responses that I think are appropriate for people with grateful hearts to give God. And the response that I want to talk today about is this. People with grateful hearts should give God their attention. Instead of being like a trick-or-treater, getting the candy they want and then quickly going on their way to go find some more candy somewhere else, the quantity and quality of what God has given us should stop us in our tracks. It's the sort of thing that should get our attention. The gifts that God has given us and the things that God wants to give us are the kind of gifts we just can't find anywhere else in this world. The things that God has given us and the things that God wants to give us are things that are given out of a deep love that God has for each and every one of us here. When we recognize just how much we've been given and when we recognize just how much God loves us as the reason for his giving, the proper response of our grateful hearts is for us to give that generous and giving God our full and undivided attention. We should give God an attentive posture that resembles that of a young Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The attentive posture of Samuel at the end of our scripture reading is a posture that stands in stark contrast to the distracted and the multitasking ways where we can be very bad at listening. The fully attentive posture of Samuel is one that convicts me because I'm regularly guilty of not being the best of listeners. Samuel is an example that convicts me in that regard. Lori knows this situation all too well. There are times where I may be physically present, but my mind is busy working on something, and so my mind is somewhere else, and I'm not really listening to what she's sharing. Sometimes I'm just in a hurry. She was wanting to share a history story last night, and I still had work to do, and I'm like walking away as I'm listening to the story wrap up because there's other things going on. That's not a good listener. An even worse situation is one where I'm holding a phone and I'm typing something into it while she's talking to me in the moment. And those are moments where she's not getting my full attention. While smartphones and other forms of technology absorbing people's attention is still a relatively new experience, while those things are still relatively new, you know, really the last 20 years in particular is when these things have really, people have gotten really attached to them. The fact that human beings have attention issues, that is actually not a new problem. This is not a new problem where it's only recently where we have problems giving God our attention. You can have attention problems with or without the technology. So if you don't use technology, you can't just say, okay, well, I don't have any attention issues. I don't have technology. No, you can have attention issues with or without it. The issue we all have and that we all face is whether or not we're going to be giving God the attention he deserves. What is the quality of the attention that you are giving God in your own life right now? And this is an area that I've been actively trying to improve over the last month or so, especially when it comes to my morning routine, my weekday morning routine in particular. After 15 years working primarily on night shift for the hospital and after forming the habit of being up really, really late, going to bed at 11, 12, sometimes even later than that, I've been recently working on having a better start to my day than I've had in years since I started working the normal daytime routine over at Elam. Like I said, normally I'm up till 11, midnight, or even later. And then on Monday through Friday mornings, what I would do is get up at the latest possible moment before throwing on some clothes, grabbing a drink of coffee or a Diet Coke and heading out to work and getting to work just a couple minutes later than I probably should. What I kept encountering with that routine were situations where I was having to deal with work-related stress, coworker problems, you know, scheduling issues. I was having to deal with all of those things not long after I woke up and left the door of the house. And so it's like, here's the beginning of my day. Starting your day off by jumping straight into work and jumping straight into the problems you need to tackle is not the best way to go about it. And so I've been choosing a different path. I'm still not comfortable with the early morning routine. I am nowhere near being in a morning groove. but I am taking steps in that direction for that purpose. The desire for doing things, the desire for doing these changes is for God to get the first fruits of my day instead of the leftovers. My attention needs to be on God at the start of my day instead of being on my to-do list. My attention needs to be on God at the start of my day instead of being on whatever worries I may have. My attention needs to be on God at the start of my day instead of being on myself and my priorities. My guess would be that I'm not alone when it comes to the need to give God better attention than I've been giving him. Perhaps your own honest assessment of the rhythm and routine of your own life would reveal the very same need. Yes, I need to give God better attention than I've been giving him. Now, it may sound strange for you to hear a pastor say that they struggle to give God good quality attention, but it is actually a fairly common problem among those in ministry. It was actually one of the key things talked about as a part of our pastoral retreat with some of the busyness that ministry people have. It's far too easy for people in vocational ministry positions to falsely believe that time spent doing a variety of activities that they are doing for God and for God's people counts as being time with God. And that just isn't the case. Those activities are not a substitute for being alone with God, and the life routine of Jesus shows us the way that we all need to go. Yes, Jesus spent plenty of time ministering to the needs of the people around him throughout the years of ministry that he had, but throughout that time, he also modeled for his disciples a pattern of withdrawing to lonely places to pray. And the purpose of that time was to draw close to the heart of his heavenly Father. If you or I want to live a life that is in line with the desires of our Father, it's imperative that we all be close enough and quiet enough to actually hear him. The words of Samuel might have been the same words Jesus used as he entered into prayer with his Father in those routine moments of solitude, where Jesus might have said something along the lines of what Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And those words can be our words too. When Jesus was teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount about the life he was calling them to, there's a little section where he talked about the problem of worry. People worry about the clothes they're going to wear. People worry about the food that they need to eat. Worry can make people really busy, where they run around trying to take care of all of the things they're worried about. And Jesus says that that's how the world operates. What Jesus then gave his disciples was a reminder about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. His heavenly Father takes care of all of the sparrows in the world. God also dresses the flowers of the field in their colorful splendor. Actually, here's another one right here. It's not a flower of the field, but it is a flower in our presence. God dresses the flowers in beautiful ways. God takes care of all of those things. And if our heavenly Father is going to take care of those things, will he not much more take care of you and I? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of those other things will be given to you as well. So our invitation this morning is for us to give God our attention and give God that attention first. When we seek God first, we are seeking a God who has given us so much, all of those things that we were talking about last week. When we seek God first, we are seeking a God who has been taking care of the birds and taking care of the flowers and taking care of the needs of his people long before you or I ever took our first breath. When we seek God first, we are seeking a God who wants to set us free from the many worries of this life, worries that can take captive our attention and rob us of joy, rob us of energy, rob us of life. If you give God your attention as a way of thanking him for what he has already given you, here's what you're going to discover. You're going to discover that God is not done giving. The space where God has your full attention is a space where God continues to give us what we need. It's in that daily space where God has your attention, where you can receive that daily bread that Jesus talked about in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus says that his heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to his children. And unfortunately, the number of good gifts that his heavenly Father wants to give out to his children is greater than the number of the good gifts his children actually receive. And the reason for that disparity is really quite simple. There are many times where God has good gifts that he is ready to give to his children, but his children don't ever show up to get them. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me, and I don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. And the good news for us today is that if we turn our attention to God, we won't miss a thing. Similar to what we did last week, we're going to take just a couple of minutes for us to sit quietly. I don't have the capability, like I said last week, of forcing you to push pause during your week of activities and what you've got going on in your life. I can't make you stop and give God attention, but I do have a little bit of that ability here, and so I'm just going to take a couple minutes for us to sit and spend some time in thought. And what I would like you to think about during this time is the level of attention that God gets out of you, out of us, outside of this time and space on a Sunday morning. What is your attention level and your attentiveness as soon as you head out these doors and jump into whatever else you've got planned for your week? If it isn't what that attention needs to be, this is a good time to seek God's help and listen. God desires time with you for a good reason. God loves you. There are more things that God wants to give you, and there are things that God has to say to you. May his servants be willing and ready to listen. And so we're just going to have a couple minutes just to spend time in thought and, like I said, reorganizing our lives where we give God the attention that he deserves. So we'll just have a couple minutes.